Thank you for joining us for Your Marketing Copilot, which is a production of ABCI. ABCI specializes in cost-effective marketing systems and campaigns in the aviation industry. I'm Paula Williams, a marketing consultant with ABCI and the instructor for ABCI's Marketing Masterclass, a course designed for business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs who would like to improve their marketing results. More information about the Marketing Masterclass is also available on our website, abci1.com. Welcome to Your Marketing Copilot. I am really excited today because we have Brad Elliott from Showalter Flying Service. And I have always admired Brad. I met him online a couple of years ago, actually, when I first started doing social media in the aviation industry, and met him at a tweet up in NBAA. But just a quick introduction of Brad Elliott. He's been the director of new business for Showalter Flying Service, and that's in Orlando, Florida. And his concentration has been on building and maintaining customer relationships, creating and promoting marketing materials for FBO operations, managing social media efforts. And he's based at Orlando Executive Airport, ORL, Central Florida's oldest and largest family-owned and operated FBO, and dedicated to customer service, quality, and safety since 1945. He also participates in the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Aviation, on the marketing committee, a member of Toastmasters International, an active private pilot. He has over 5 years' experience setting up the NBAA annual conference static displays and other industry trade shows. And he's also on the Schedulers and Dispatchers Committee and Advisory Council for NBAA. So there are lots of reasons that we wanted to talk with BRAD. So welcome.
All right. Thank you. And a quick note, it's just I'm just on the S&D committee. The Advisory Council is they're the guys that have already been on the committee, and they're there to assist us folks on the Schedule and Dispatchers Committee. So I'm not there yet, but I have a 4-year term in the S&D committee, and I'll be there soon.
Okay.
Soon enough.
Great. Well, thanks for making that correction. And I
that's okay.
For that. That's a good distinction to make. And but still, that's a very important group. And anyway, yeah. So BRAD, you've done a lot of networking live and online. What's your process?
Oh, my process is just to be me.
That's a good policy.
Yeah. The aviation community is so great. You can be yourself, and there's you get so many friends out of it. And we all have the same goal of, we love to fly. We love being, being in the industry and do what we're doing. And everyone's so helpful to help out. So if you're yourself, then you seem to go a lot further than trying to fake it. That's what I've seen. So.
Right. Yeah, I think everybody has that passion for watching people light up, when they take a flight, or just being part of that flight experience or that flight crew. You can definitely see that in your communications that, that's a real clear and honest identification with everybody else in the industry. There's not very many industries that have that advantage and that connection with each other. You've always been a huge advocate of social media in the aviation industry, and you've been doing it a lot longer than I have. So how did you get interested in social media?
Well, I was in college, and that's when the Facebook came around, took off, and I was, as soon as it came to our school, I jumped on, I think the first within like the first year or so. I went to the University of Central Florida here in Orlando, and so I jumped on as soon as I could, just connect with friends at other universities, and it was a way to see what's going on at their schools and hang out, and if I ever travel, I was able to connect with them at first and have a place to stay. So it was just a transition that I started there personally, and then as we moved on and more people jumped on, a lot of my friends that are pilots or in the aviation industry, they were also on there, and I just started, I realized that, well, maybe our company should have a presence here as well, because a lot of our customers are on here that I'm friends with. So it was just kind of a natural just transition for us.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people either kind of come one direction or the other. They either start at the social end, you know, get into it because of their school or because of their kids or grandkids or, you know, whatever. And then they find out that they have a lot of business connections on social media, or they come the other way and, you know, get into it for business and then suddenly find all kinds of friends and relatives and things that they didn't even know they had or that, you know, they haven't talked with in a long time. So it sounds like for you, it went from the school and the social to aviation.
Yeah. So it was just here at Showalter, we just had, you know, our customers, we have relationships with them. So it was very natural, whether it's online, you know, that I already had a connection with them that we started that way. It originally, like a lot of our connections that are online, a lot of them started off just offline, just coming in and they know they heard about Showalter and they'd come in, and then, you know, they're also online. So we've connected that way as well.
Right. That's really smart. And then, you know, I know people are the most interested in social media if it brings them clients. So, you know, if someone has connected with you online and then comes in because of something that they saw online, does that happen?
I personally can't say that I've seen that yet. We got a lot of mentions of folks, you know, we're following folks and get shout outs or little tweets back that saying, Showalter Flying Service is following me, but I'm still yet to go there. But I'm really excited that, you know, that we're following them. So it's who knows if they ever make it down to Orlando, they'll hopefully remember that and stop in, but.
Exactly. You know. Well, and even just kind of the networking contacts. I know, you know, I met you through, I think you had organized a tweet up in Orlando. Is that right? I think that was 2 years ago for NBAA.
Yeah, it was 2009.
2009, right.
Yeah, it's, I didn't start the tweet up. I think it was kind of a talk, you know, we should have a tweet up. And I don't know if I suggested a static display because we have the static display here on our ramp. The 50 acres we have here, we turn over much of it to the NBAA to set up their big static display show. So, in return, I'm working 12-hour days, so there's no way I'm making it down to the convention center. So I kind of suggested that maybe that the static display would be a perfect
place to have it
for us.
Right. But the neat thing about it was, you know, I met you for the first time there, and we had been talking on social media for, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months before that. So, you know, I felt like, you know, I wasn't meeting you for the first time. And, you know, it's just a much nicer way to network, I think, than going in cold to a networking event. And, you know, I'm not the type that can just, you know, walk up to somebody I've never met and stick my hand out. And, you know, it's so much nicer to have a connection and go, you know, see a name tag and go, you know, I know you, we talked about this topic and you had this idea and, you know, we have this connection already. So that's, I think it's really good for people who maybe aren't natural networkers. It's kind of a
it's like an online icebreaker. You know, you just kind of, break the ice online. There's not as a kind of you meet someone in person, there's like a reaction, you know, the natural reaction that you have is to just kind of be shy and timid. So once you already met someone online, it's you already have that icebreaker, so you can go right up to them and just be yourself.
Exactly. I think that's a great thing. And that also works for marketing. You know, I mean, people kind of feel like they know you. So, you know, that's the best way to get a customer, is to make them feel comfortable and not feel like they're walking into your business for the first time. They don't really know how they're going to be welcomed. They don't really know how, you know, what to expect. But if they have a relationship with you, they feel more comfortable. Anyway, Showalter has a Twitter account, Facebook, LinkedIn, an online newsletter, your flypaper, and so on. What's been your most effective channel, or do they all work together?
You know, we have kind of different strategies for each. The flypaper, it's been around for more than 10 years. I've been here 10 years, and it's been here longer before me. And that goes out to all our base customers that we send every month. We send it out to them, and that just, you know, it's just our news. It's our news of the month or helpful tips. If it's hurricane season, we give them ideas, you know, of making sure they're tying down the right way to tie down the airplanes, or, you know, give them other ideas about moving the airplane in hurricane season. We just have a hurricane like prepare for them, and we're able to send that out every year. And just, I mean, it was kind of on those lines of just talking about our news. And that goes out to all the customers, and we have a question of the month to answer, an aviation related question, and we get a lot of feedback from that. So that it's over 10 years, and I think that's a really effective channel just for our base customers. The Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. The LinkedIn is really interesting. There's a lot of aviation professionals on LinkedIn. So I use it, through my account, my personal account. I've connected with a lot of folks in the industry, and that seems to be, that's a pretty good way to work with folks. You know, instead of sending a random email, you can actually kind of connect with the folks through LinkedIn and send them an email through LinkedIn. The Twitter account has opened up a lot. Me and you met through Twitter, I believe.
Yeah, it's true.
And spoke through there. And then Benay Wilson, one of your past guests, met her through Twitter. And, it's just those kind of connections. I'm meeting a lot of the editors or those kind of folks on Twitter. And now even customers are starting to come along. We got quite a few folks that come in and thanked us for business on Twitter. And so it's all kind of migrating to becoming down to the same, you know, our customers are online, are starting to use all these other social tools. And in the Facebook, we started Facebook off as a lot of our past employees that worked here and loved it. And they've moved on to become pilots, and they still come back, fly in here and there. So they're now customers, but they've worked here. So they're pretty much they're part of the Showalter family because they've been here, worked it. So it's kind of a mix of which each one has what we're getting back from it. So the Facebook is I like to call it, it's the Showalter personality webpage. Mm-hmm. We put our fun pictures on there. We get to display like some news or events that's going on. It kind of stays there. You can click on the Facebook page. You can see those pictures. Twitter is kind of it's a quick conversation. And you kind of read it, and then a day or two goes by, you kind of forget it. But the Facebook is always there. So I think the Facebook's a little more permanent for us, and I think it has a little more. I think it's a little more effective. But the Twitter we have a lot more Twitter followers than we do Facebook fans. So it depends on how you're measuring effective, I guess, is the key there. And we hit on each one is the difference.
So you use each of them for a different reason, and you get a different result from it. There's a couple of things that you mentioned that I kind of wanted to go back to because I think they're really important. One of them is content. You know, there are so many people who ask us, or ask ABCI anyway, you know, what do I do on social media? You know, what kind of information are people looking for? And you mentioned a couple of really great things. One is your hurricane preparedness. You know, that's something that's regionally appropriate. It's very much needed, for your customers and your folks. And it shows that you care about people because, you know, you want them to be safe and you want them to, their airplanes to be safe. And, you know, you want to take care of your people. And I think, you know, that really shows that side of it. And the other one is the question of the month, which also shows you care because you're asking people, you know, what do you want to know? And so it's that two-way conversation. Is that what you intended with that, or is that kind of evolved?
I think it's always been that way. I would say since the beginning of the show, Walter, the beginning, it's all about relating with your customer and making them feel comfortable. And, you know, we're using the social tools the same way. It's just like offline or online, the same as offline. We want to make sure we're connecting with our customers. We're not using the social media stuff as a billboard. We're actually trying to use it to connect with folks and add value to the conversation.
Right. You know, that's one thing, when we were talking with Bob Jones of ATP a few weeks ago, that he mentioned as well. And, you know, so it keeps coming up. And I think there's something to this. You can't be something online that you aren't offline. And, you know, that personality, that fact that you consider, former employees and customers to be part of the family, that you care about your customers. I think that's something that a lot of people try to give that impression online, but it has to match you know, with what you really feel and the way people really are, or else it doesn't seem authentic and it doesn't smell right.
That's very true. It's been a very interesting process, but I mean, it's what I'm going to say we're horrible liars. We can't fake it. We have to live it. So it's day in, day out here. It's what we do on the ramp. If it's, you know, everyone here carries a radio. If something happens, you know, if it gets busy on the ramp, we're running out of our office to help out, park airplanes, fuel them, type of deal. And it's the same online. If someone sees a way to connect and knows a different, you know, knows a different way to do something and they're able to show it, then that works too.
Right. I think all people are horrible fakers. So, you know, seriously, whether they know it or not, you know, so, you know, being yourself, I think is much more appealing. And, you know, another thing is that I think a lot of folks, when they get into social media, they're kind of obsessed with perfection. You know, they're worried about having every I dotted and every T crossed and doing everything correctly. And I think, you know, people, especially in aviation, will forgive a multitude of sins if you are genuine and authentic and you really care about people and you're just trying to be yourself as opposed to trying to get away with something or trying to sell something or trying to pull one over on people. So, you know, is that your philosophy on perfection or, you know, do you guys go through some kind of a proofreading process or is it kind of a free for all or how do you manage that perfection?
To a certain point, but it's more just, it's kind of on the whim, just kind of put it together and make it sound natural. It can be, we can't concentrate too much on making it perfect. Cause I mean, we're human, but you know, we know our vision and we just stick to that. And we try not to go outside the boundaries. I mean, we'll test things out and do everything and stuff like that. But this what you're seeing online is who we are.
So we know
who we are. And we stick to that kind of basic, simple. We don't do things that are just out of our normal too much. And it's just a kind of a natural ability, I guess, that we just stick to. And I think it makes it a little more comforting for folks to see that, you know, we're not trying to do things we're not.
We're not. So you've got some general guidelines, but you know, you're not, you know, holding every tweet for 3 reviews or anything like that to, you know, go through some kind of an editing process or anything.
Oh, no. We'll come up with it. And if, I mean, cause you may miss a connection if you take too long to think about it and take a process. You know the rights and wrongs, and we follow that guideline as, you know, it's that kind of same way.
Right. Yeah, I found that, you know, if you make an error in social media, that's better than being too late, you know. I mean, unless it's a grievous error or something like that, but, you know, a typo or something like that is much better if you're being responsive than, you know, if somebody asks you a question and it's 3 days before you get back to them and, you know, then they feel like, oh, well, they don't really care about me or about my question, or they don't think I'm important. So, you know, I think you manage that really well and you're very responsive, which is a great thing. Let me ask you this, kind of change directions. You have a lot of experience with trade shows, and that's something that's coming up for a lot of folks listening. There's, you know, a lot of shows coming up this summer. What suggestions, well, first of all, what are some of the best and worst examples of marketing that you've seen at trade shows? And you don't have to name names on the worst ones. But if you want to, you can.
Well, just know your industry you're in. Uh-huh. Know your target audience. And so some of the worst thing is, I don't know, dangling folks from top of rafters and whatnot. I don't know. It's kind of just doesn't seem doesn't seem right when you're going to one of those things. You're expecting a professional business setting and you kind of see folks dangling around and little skimpy outfits or whatnot. So I think that's probably one of the worst things. So
let me just elaborate on that. I think, you know, if you were at NBAA in 2010, there was a booth, which we won't name, that had, I think some booth talent that they had hired, and they were in outfits that, and there was a big debate on this on LinkedIn. I don't know if you saw it in the women in aviation section about this booth. So, you know, this is an interesting, you know, they definitely did get attention, but they also upset a few folks who are, you know, some of the women in aviation who are professional pilots and professional executives and other kinds of things. And, you know, that they felt that that was inappropriate. So anyway, I didn't mean to jump in on that, but that was just too good.
No, I didn't realize that. I must have joined the Women in Aviation LinkedIn group a little later. I would love to be part of that.
That discussion.
Yeah,
so. that was a good one. Yeah, that's a good example. Any others, sir?
Let's see. Best, of course, everything that we do. I mean,
of course.
No, no, one of the great ones that I used at the Schedule and Dispatchers Committee this year, I think, worked out really well. Was we handed out fingernail polish. It was, you know, that was a large target market there, and it was called My Private Jet. So it was a very neat little giveaway that we had, and it was a word of mouth. We didn't just outright hand it out. We handed it to the folks that, you know, that we knew would that were customers that have come in before, and it was just kind of neat to see how it worked its way around the convention. By the end of day three or day two, it was, and we had all sorts of folks coming up and asking for the nail polish. So I think that was one of the neat things. But it was, you know, we knew our target market. We knew our, you know, what folks would like. So that was one of the better things I think we've done in a long time.
Yeah, I remember everybody was walking around the convention with the same color, and it was kind of a blue-gray nail polish. Is that right?
Yeah, it was like a metal. It was like almost a gunmetal or some kind of color.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't skimp out too much. It was I learned a lot about nail polish from this, but it was the OPI, so it was
the nice nail polish that everybody wants, exactly.
Brand that everybody wants, and it was My Private Jet, so it was perfect. And apparently, it goes good with any color, and so I had a lot of fun with it because I wasn't very skilled on that side of things, so it was
right.
Very interesting.
But it was interesting because, you know, by about the third day of NBAA last year, I would say probably 75%, well, maybe at least 50% of the women running around had the same color nail polish. So, you know, it was one of those things that even if you didn't know what was going on, you would think, wow, somebody's in on something that I need to know about. And so you'd ask, you know, where did you get that? And what is that color? And you know, so then you ended up with that word of mouth advertising. That's great. Cool. Okay. So that's a bad example and a good example. So what suggestions do you have for people who are going to trade shows this summer?
I mean, it's just like anything else in your marketing. You just need to know what you want to get out of it. You need to have a plan beforehand. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to specific people, make sure you make note or set up an appointment with those folks there. If if you make your goals, you're targeting, you know exactly who you guys are going after, and make it worthwhile for them to come see you if you're presenting or exhibiting. You know, make sure you're doing all the right things, that, you know, you're offering something of value to them. And so just think about the process. It's not just about spending money and just throwing it at folks. It's more than that. You know, make a connection. Find a way to break the ice. If you can do it on social media, if you can find those folks, that's great too. But, you know, always go in with a plan. And then once you're done, of course, follow up. So that's probably one of the best things I can think of is going into a trade show. I know there's quite a few coming up this summer. And then, of course, in October, the big show, NBAA. And, and there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of traffic. You got to stand out somehow. So, but then again, you don't want to stand out. You want to stand out for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You want to add to your vision of your company. So you kind of want to have something that will relate, just like the nail polish, the private jet thing. So you kind of want to relate and do something within the industry, and something that's, if you're giving giveaways, you know, find something that is useful. It's not just the trinkets and trash that people will take, and then they go to pack their bags and go home, and they have their bag full of stuff, and they have to start getting rid of stuff. They're going to start getting their stuff they just don't want. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, give them something they're going to take home that's going to be useful. So just kind of put some thought into that process if you're looking at that. But And also, most importantly, if you're exhibiting, I highly recommend double pad your booth. So you're standing all day, never sit down in your booth. The double pad will help, and then also with folks walking around all day, as soon as they stand in your booth, they'll see that, you know, that, oh, they actually take an initiative to give some comfort here. So when they take a step up on the double padding there, it's comforting. So
yeah, they say, ah, and they want to stand there and talk to you because, you know, whether or not they're interested in your product or service, they want to stand there and talk to you because it's comfortable.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's great. Cool. Well, let me ask you this question, actually. This is one that I hadn't planned on, so, you know, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. But if you had a choice, you know, and there are two schools of thought on this, so you could go either way and there's no right answer, but there are people who think that it is worse to be boring than it is to be offensive. You know, I mean, they would rather be they'd rather cross a line, or they'd rather be provocative or deliberately provocative in a trade show, especially, or any other marketing situation, than it is to be boring and to not be noticed at all. What do you think?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one, but it's a question I've been pondering, and we kind of brought up the topic, so I thought I'd throw that at you.
No, definitely. Everyone here at Trail Walter, I think we don't like mundane. We don't like just the go with the flow deal. So I don't think you have to go out and be provocative. But I mean, there's other ways that you can do stuff. I'll just give an example from the last S&D show. It was the last big show I was at, so it was in January. Or February rather, in Savannah, the Pentastar folks, they wore track suits, and they were doing it for a charity. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's nothing that wasn't provocative or whatnot, but you know, that set an example, and you see those folks everywhere. Once you notice them once, you see them the whole entire show. So it's simple stuff that you can do. It doesn't have to be costly or provocative. It's just put some thought into it. And if you're putting that image out there, you're being provocative. You're attracting those kind of folks. So
yeah.
If that's the folks you want, then by all means, go for it. But if you just have your base market of customers, and you don't want to offend those, if that's not the way you work day in, day out, then why would you do it at this show? It just doesn't make sense to go out there and risk that just for one day or 2 days, however long the show may be.
So it kind of comes back to that showing your personality and showing your real self. I like that. Okay, last question. Since you have so many things going on, online, offline, trade shows, and so on, it seems like you've got all of the avenues that you could possibly be advertising. You're doing something in that venue. So you have a lot of people in your company working on marketing. How do you work together and coordinate so that your message is coherent and, you know, so that your Twitter is sort of in line with your trade show, which is sort of in line with any print advertising you're doing and things like that? How do you keep that in sync?
Oh, Showalter has put together I say it's one of the greatest companies I ever worked at, and I've been here for 10 years, but it starts from the bottom up, top down. I started here on the line, and the vision was given to me, and it's just a culture here that marketing starts right outside. As soon as the plane hits the ramp, it's marketing right away, and so everyone here realizes that we have a company meeting every month. We go over financials. We go over all this. We go over all the company issues and ideas. Everyone here, we have 24 employees, so everyone here has a say, from the line guys at the front desk to the janitor to the maintenance person. They each have ideas of how to give better customer service or save us money. So it's a different culture that we're all in line, I think. And folks that just don't get on board, they tend not to last here too long. So we call it marketing, I guess, but it's just a customer relation. It's all about taking care of the customers. It's whatever we can do to make them have a better experience while they're here.
Right. It's interesting that, you know, you kind of consider I like the thing that you said, marketing starts when the plane hits the ramp. So, you know, either everything that you do is marketing, or, you know, customer service, or whatever name you want to call it. It's, you know, you don't separate out, this is a marketing job, this is not a marketing job, this is my job, this is your job. You know, it sounds like you really have it meshed well. And let me ask you this, and this is, you know, maybe a little off the topic, but, you know, do you think that that has something to do with selecting the right people? And you mentioned that people don't stick around if they're not the right ones, but, you know, do you actively seek out people who have that same vision?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a culture. It's like we've always said, you know, we'll hire for attitude and train for experience if we have to. Some of the things is that you will hire someone and have to retrain them. And that's just not going to, they tend to go back to old ways. So, it's all about attitude. It's a customer centric service here. So we look for those kind of folks that think outside the box to make sure that you know, they can take care of the customer in whatever way that, you know, that could pop up. So it's most definitely just a culture here, and you kind of have to, you either fall in the culture or you don't, and then in those that don't, you just tend to move on. So
right, and then you end up with a team of 24 people who you know, understand that you know, this is the job, this is the attitude, and this is the product and the offering that you're making, and I think that's really done well. But okay, well, let me, if you wouldn't mind, let people know how to get in touch with you and how to get in touch with Showalter.
Okay, yeah, definitely showalter.com. Definitely just all the contacts there, 407-894-7331. Just give us a call, you know, it's you can get a hold of anyone here. And then, of course, you can find us all on all the social media stuff. Just put in Showalter Flying and you'll find us on the Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and those outlets.
Right. They are not hard to find. They've done a really good job of dominating the search engines for flying in South Florida or flying to the Bahamas and those kinds of things. So that's great. Well, thank you for spending some time with us, Brad.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Your Marketing Co-Pilot is a production of Aviation Business Consultants International. Please visit our blog for more great discussions on marketing at www.abci1.com. You can also find Aviation Business Consultants on Facebook and Twitter. We have a free book titled Aviation Marketing, Cost-Effective Strategies and Tools, which is available at www.abci1.com/freebook. Thank you for joining us for the Marketing Co-Pilot. If you have any questions or comments on today's show or any suggestions for future shows, please feel free to leave them on our blog or email paula@abci1.com, and we look forward to seeing you next week.